Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Can we lift our hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord for just one more minute? Just whisper to Him from the depths of your heart how much you love Him. Pour out your expectations to Him. The power of God travels in the direction of your expectation. Talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord from the depths of your heart. This is a conference for the mature. This is the conference for those who are here to seek the face of God. We will receive, but beyond that, it's a conference for people that want to explore the depths of God. It's a conference for people who want to bear the weight and the burdens in the heart of the Father. It's a conference for those who want to advance the frontiers of the kingdom, to learn the strategies of the Spirit, that which is required to strengthen, to equip, to enlighten. Pour your heart to the Lord now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, we give you glory. Take all the honor, even tonight, because we are persuaded that you open unto us the oracles of your Spirit. We'll be enlightened, we'll be equipped, we'll be strengthened, we'll be better, even what you have done with us tonight. Take all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. I have just 50 minutes, so I have to manage the time to help me bring. Thank you so much. God bless you. I may be singing from time to time, please. So don't bother, because it won't be for long. I have just 15 minutes. So the idea is to just speak and highlight basic points that will set the coordinate for what the Lord will be emphasizing in the course of the meeting. So I'm functioning live as a teacher tonight, just to show you a few things, and then we'll pray over them. And as we go forward, there will be time to make proclamations. Are we together? Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Psalm 29. You know, God is such a mystery that Himself needs to help us to understand His ways. And even though God is so generous in helping us to understand Him, it is unfortunate that it will be impossible for us to exhaust Him because of the vastness and the magnitude of His being. Man is not equipped with sufficient resources to internalize the totality of the being called God. In all of the eternities of God, He has been on an adventure of helping man to understand His ways and to come into the depths of the excellencies of His realm. And so in the course of this conference, I want to show us what is in the heart of the Father and how He wants to bring administration to His purposes that are on the face of the earth. But it will be difficult to understand exhaustively that which God wants to do, except first of all you begin to glean a bit of the glory and the excellence that governs His realm. And this is why I want us to begin from the book of Psalm 29, especially because we are talking about the thunderings of God. So it has to do with the speakings of God. It has to do with the dimension of God's excellence that has to do with His speaking. There are many aspects of God that you can begin to study in order to explore His possibilities. But in the course of this conference, we want to look at the communications of His oracles through His voice. If you want to look at the realm of God, for example, the way the realm is built, the mysteries alone that govern it is past finding out. When you begin to look at the structure of the being called God, the Bible said He's clothed with jasper and sardine. God is covered with crystals. The reason is because He dwells in light that is unapproachable. And because he cannot approach his realm, he decided to clothe himself with spiritual resources that will reflect dimensions in very tangible ways that you can interact with, since you can't interact with the whole of him. So it's impossible for any being in the universe to come into the atmosphere of the totality of the being called God. So when God created the heavens and instituted his throne in Zion, it will amaze you to know that the fullness of God have never sat on that throne until Jesus came into this world and resurrected. Because the Bible said when Jesus resurrected in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 10, he said he went far above all heavens. So Jesus did not stop in heaven. He went back to 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 16, the realm of light unapproachable. There is no being in creation that can come into the atmosphere of the dwelling of God. The energy level of that dwelling will cause you to vanish and to dematerialize. He said he dwells in light that is unapproachable. But in order for creation to interact with him, he decided to clothe himself with crystals. And if you have done elementary physics, you will understand that one of the things crystals do is that they reflect light. So when the being and the essence of deity that is encompassed in light is about to manifest in heaven, what God does is that he allows those crystals to reflect the dimension of him. This is why the 24 elders forever and ever keep falling on their faces, because even though they've been in heaven for aeons, they've never seen the totality of God. So the one they saw a moment ago, when the crystals reflect another dimension, they see what they have never seen. The moment they stand up and they want to walk, look upon him again, they see another dimension that they've not seen. So the totality of God have never entered heaven, because heaven itself dwells in God. That is the majesty of the being that we are dealing with. But it will be impossible to begin to study God exhaustively, since our conference has to do with the utterances of God that thunders. So we want to look at his excellencies from the dimension of his utterance. So the psalmist began to speak to us from Psalm 29. He began to talk to us about the glory and the majesty of God. And he wanted to do that through the pathway of his voice. And he said, the voice of God, he thundereth. The voice of God is upon many waters. The word waters there is not just the water we know. Waters and the depths of waters has to do with nations and civilizations. That means everything God creates is regulated by the authority and the majesty that flows from his voice. So he said the voice of God is upon many waters. He said the voice of God divided the flames of fire. He said the voice of God discovered the forest. The voice of God causes the hind to carve. If I want to talk about that, it will take all day. But it's just to give us a glimpse to the majesty of this being that we are dealing with. His voice has the power to change the totality of the cosmos. Every time God speaks, laws are enforced. Every time God speaks, seals are opened in the spirit. Every time God speaks, seasons are opened. Every time God speaks, dominion is established. Every time God speaks, mandates are enforced. So the thunderings of God is not just about the loudness of the voice. It's about the fact that secrets are unleashed to creation. That's why I said the voice of God is upon many waters. It's the fact that dispensations are opened when God utters his voice. If God speaks over our realm today, you'll be amazed that a season of revival can just break out. And men will begin to have encounters on the streets. Cripples will just begin to walk. Not because prayer warriors interceded. It's because that oracle has uttered his voice from the mountains of Zion. And the moment he utters his voice, things begin to change. If God speaks now, he can decide to empower people. And the whole idea of terrorism that have crippled the earth realm, people can just rise and shut it down, because that utterance will open a season. So when he began to talk to us about the majesty of the voice of God, is to reveal to us the energy level where God operates from. In Job chapter 38 from verse 31, God began to question Job, and he asked him a simple question. He said, can you bind the sweet influences of plenties? He's talking about planets. That means when God speaks, he doesn't just address men. When God speaks, God addresses planets. When God speaks, God can address the earth. God can address the moon. God can address the stars. He said, can you loose the bands of Orion? Can you command Arcturus and his sons? Or can you open the seasons of Nazareth? That means when God utters his voice, he opens and commands planets to come into alignment. So the reason the sun and the planetary system are orbiting is because the voice of God declared it. It is not about the intelligence of physics and mathematics. The planetary bodies are functioning like that because the voice of God kept them in their courses. And he said something very instrumental. He said, can you establish the dominions of the heavens upon the face of the earth? That means everything that happens on earth, everything we see manifesting on earth that is consistent with the will of the Father is a function of the voice of God. The thunderings of the voice of God. Now the question is, how does the economy of the voice of God affect you as a believer? Because it's not just about the thunder. When he called Israel to Mount Sinai, that he wanted to speak with them, and he began to ponder, they ran back. They could not withstand the loudness of the voice of God. They could not withstand the volume of the voice of God. So it's not about the volume. It's about the economy of the divine that you have been brought to participate in. It's about the seasons that are opening and the role you have to play in them. It's about the seeds and the secrets that are opening in heaven and how it affects your destiny and your dispensation in the history of God. It's about the gates that are opening and the dominions that will be established. How then does the voice of God affect you as an individual? How does the voice of God affect and impact your life and destiny? You cannot understand that until you come back to the economy of creation. When God was creating you, what did he have in mind? Because this creature that even the 24 elders cannot approach, this creature that the ranking angels cannot interact with, when he created you, how did he form you to make you participate in that realm? That is where you have to go in first to understand what you need to be before you can participate in the economy of the voice. And I want to submit to you today that what God had in mind was not to create a natural man. What God had in mind was to create a God. And I know somebody will call it heresy. What God had in mind was to formulate a God that will walk upon the face of the earth. And the goal is because when it thunders in heaven, that man on earth will receive the capacity to resonate with it. It is the mystery of Mahanai. It is when a God interacts with a God that government and dominion can be established. So if we don't function in the ranking of God, if we don't function in the class of God, the possibility of Mahanai cannot take place. And if Mahanai doesn't take place, the dominion of heaven cannot find expression on the face of the earth. So as we study and appreciate the excellencies of God, we will also come to look at the brochure of the divine to find out what is it about this being that he created. How did he formulate this being? And what are the mysteries that undergird the equipping and the infrastructure of this being called man? That is what David began to contemplate in the book of Psalm 8 from verse 4. He said, what is man? He didn't say, who is man? He said, what is man? If he said, who is man, he would have introduced man by his name. But when he said, what is man? He's talking about the mystery that went into the creation of man, the investment that went into the formulation of this thing. That's why he said, you were wonderfully and terribly made. Who was the one afraid when we were created? It was the designer himself. When he sat in the studio and he was coupling you together, there were things that he planted in you that made you different from all of his creation. Can I tell you something? The man that walked in the Garden of Eden was not the first man God created. Because if you study the scriptures, you will discover that when the prophets of old looked upon the visage of man and they went back to heaven, they discovered that there was already another man that was walking in the throne room. Because Ezekiel said in Ezekiel chapter 1, he said, in the 30th year, on the 4th month, in the 5th day, I was among the captives by the river Kabah, and I saw visions of God. And in verse 5, one of the creatures he saw, he said he was in the similitude and in the likeness of a man. In verse 10, he said he had the face of a man. So this being walking on the earth, there is a type of him that is already in the training. But that one in the training was not given the responsibility of procreation. That one in the training was not given the possibility of intimacy. That one in the training was not given the right to function as a God. So when God wanted to create that kind of being again in the visible realm, he had to come back to recite how this one will work. I've created a man before that carried my throne and moved like the lightning, but I want to create another kind of man. And he said, let us make this man, this time in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. That is why this man no longer just carries the throne of God. This man enters into God, because oneness must be achieved before dominion can take place. You are a God and you function in the God class. When the servants began to understand it, there were many things David studied that made it look as if David was working in the New Testament context. David said, oh my, let me leave that. Jesus showed up in John chapter 10 verse 34. He said, you are gods because you are the children of the Most High. You are gods. This was the same thing the psalmist said in Psalm 82 verse 6. He said, the name of neither do you understand. I have said you are gods because you are the children of the Most High God. You are not human beings trying to survive. You are gods called into the fellowship of the divine to look upon that which God does and to communicate and establish the same in the world. That's why the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 2, he said, he has made you to become partakers of the divine, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's always about the fellowship of the divine. It's always about intimacy. It's always about a call to participate in the realm of God. So when we talk about the thunderings of God, we are not expecting lightning in the sky that will thunder over Abuja. We are expecting the emergence of a generation that becomes a receptacle in the spirit that can put the things in the heart of the Father. And as they begin to communicate it, they become the effulgence of the thunder of God. So when God wants to proclaim a season, God doesn't need to thunder from Mount Sinai. And for surprise, can work out. And when he aligns with Zion, he can put the frequencies of Abba. And when he shows up, he says, Abuja, your time has come. I command the doors to open. And when you look at it, you may think a man is talking. In that ascended reality, he has entered into the dimensions of God. So at that time, his voice is the voice of God, the family water. That is the man that we were called to function. Do you see what he said? For all have sinned, they have not fallen from the realm of victory. They have not fallen from the realm of dominion. He said, they have fallen from the glory. The word is doxa. They have fallen from essence of divinity. They have lost the powers to walk as gods. They have lost the dimension of God that was weaved into their being. They are falling from that realm. So in the feast of the thundering of God, there will be reconstruction. There will be rejuvenation. The infrastructure of your being will be structured back. So that when you go out, you know your eyes are not just to appreciate architecture and engineering masterpiece. No, your eyes are to look upon secret things, and in the oracles of heaven, you will look upon the tablets of the testimony, and you will utter things that men can utter. The idea is not just for you to gist with your friend. The idea is for you to proclaim seasons and times over the inhabitants of the earth. The idea is not just for you to go home and rest, that you now have a duplex, you can rest and sleep well. The idea is for you to journey beyond time into the portals of the spirit and interact with beings of heaven. Paul said, I knew a man many years ago, whether he was in the body or in the flesh, I know not, but I know that that man was carried to the third heavens. So when that man comes, even the things God didn't say, he can say concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, but I speak as one that is trustworthy. I speak as one. I know where the oracles of God were sculpted from. I know where the laws were written from. I saw those tablets in the spirit. So the ones God don't say will be saved, because we have become like him. That's why he said he maketh his angels spirit, but his ministers flames of fire. And he said the Lord performed the words of his servant, and he confirmed the counsels of his messengers. They have gone to where it is. Did you not read about Daniel? Daniel came, a hand wrote on the wall. He could not interpret it, and Daniel showed up and he said, this is what is written. Many, many, take care of our sin. And this is what it means. He said, your kingdom have been weighed in the balances, and it will be divided among the maidens and the patient. How can a man interpret writings that are spiritual, encoded in the spirit? Because he participates where those writings came from. How can a man interpret utterances that came from the realm of the spirit, except as himself had become a partaker of the divine? He knows where God utters his voice from. And that's why when God kept the man in the garden, he didn't bother giving him the details of how to name the animals. He didn't bother giving him the details of the dimensions of the earth.
Because when the man journeys into the heart of Abba, he knows what God he bears. So the powers of a man is not in his mental inclination. The power of a man is in the depths that he can travel to. But he said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When the voice of God begins to come to you in this conference, it will teach you how to function as a God. You know, one of the greatest problems we have is that unspiritual men teach spiritual things. So they teach us how to survive when we should rule and reign. They teach us to pursue earthly things because that's what gratifies them. Meanwhile, those things should be byproducts. They should be byproducts. Because Daniel dwelt in the spirit. When he comes out, he said he's 10 times better than his peers. Is 10 times better. Is 10 times better. Everything we do, we succeed in it. If I come into business, I can't fail. Open it, I will look at it in one day. When I talk, you will think I wrote it. Because I function from the realm where knowledge itself dwells. But you don't have that consciousness. If we brought men into the spirit, it will become easy to teach. When you struggle to teach men, it's because their reality has not been unlocked. How can I be studying a subject for 1 year and I'm still failing? Because I don't know where God dwells. If I know how God lives, when I come there, I will improve on what you have written. For all I've seen, I'm falling short of the glory of God. How do you walk as a God? There are three things. Because God is on a project of restoration. After salvation, there's restoration. Because salvation is legalistic, restoration is experiential. It brings you back to the place of walking in the reality of what you are given. That's why I said great is the mystery of godliness. God left his realm to become man so that man can come back to the realm of God. That's the mystery of godliness, to make man a God. But there are three ladders that you will stand on in order to function as a God, because you were falling. The first ladder is the ladder of a son. When God begins to thunder upon your life, what will happen to you is that your journey will bring you to the place of sonship. A son is not a child of God. It takes eternal life to be a child. But it takes more than eternal life to be a son. You can be a child, you will not be a son. An evangelist can preach to you and you become a child. But for you to become a son, you must step into the corridors of organic reality. It's a walk with the Holy Ghost. It's not just a message you receive and believe and confess. It's a walk in the spirit. Because the idea behind sonship is not just for you to receive inheritance. The idea behind sonship is for you to come to a place of maturity where you can take the steps of the Father. You can walk according to the dictates of the Father. You can know the ways of the Father and align with the movements of the Father. That is what sonship is about. And I will show you from scripture. The Bible said in Galatians 4:1, the heir, so long as he's a child. Who is a child? If you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. That is where our Christianity kept us. And the moment we got saved and became assured of eternity, all we come for now is bread and wine. So we don't grow to participate in kingdom. There is a glory that awaits us on the other side of the divide. And there are many who are walking in it today. You say, I've run my race, I finished my course. There remained for me a crown of life. How did you know? That guy is not only walking for salvation. He has journeyed past the gate of salvation. He has come into sonship. What makes you a son? First, the heir. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you don't just receive eternal life. You have come to a place where you can begin to pick the moves and the movements of the Spirit. You are led. You are conditioned. You migrate and sojourn according to the dictates of the command tower of heaven. That's a son. But I tell you, many Christians have not arrived there. That's why they can't walk as gods. As many as are led by the Spirit. There are two ways to be led by the Spirit, amongst others, that I want to talk to you about quickly. The first is that you enter the economy of life. In Romans chapter 8 verse 2, it said, the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus have set me free. So what the economy of life does is that it causes a departure from death to life. If you enter into the economy of life, you will discover that your appetites will change. Before you enter that economy, it was difficult to pray. But now that you have entered that economy, the moment time for prayer comes, the prayer altar itself begins to pull you. You are not praying by discipline. You are praying because it has become part of your reality. So the way you don't eat, you are hungry. That's why if you don't pray, you are comfortable. It's an economy of life. It takes a man who is led of the Spirit to walk in the reality of the economy of life. And when God truly begins to thunder on you, that is how you pick the frequency. You pick the vibrations by organic reality. You don't pick the frequency just because a declaration was made. You pick the frequency because your spirit man begins to commune with the Spirit of Abba. So he begins to regulate you. That is the life that will bring you under government. That is the life that will tell you not to go out, not to eat this, to separate from this person, to depart from this location. It becomes an intangible, but a force that controls you. When you come there, it means you have entered the realm of the thunderings of God. In the realm of souls. Thank God for salvation. But there is much more than salvation. Because before man fell, there was a reality going on in Eden. The movements of life. It's so pathetic that we glory in number, but very few people are regulated by life. And that doesn't mean anything to us, because all we look for is the applause of men, for it to appear as if we are doing so well. Jesus kept himself with a few persons. 3, 12, 70, 500, 120, 500. All his ministry, he poured himself into 500 people. And when Judas, who was the son of perdition, failed him, they didn't need to go and start a new discipleship program. They stretched their hand and picked somebody. He had the same stature as Peter. Because they were regulated by life. If the whole pastors here are not available, you can just say, you take service on Sunday. He doesn't need any special preparation. Life itself will give him the utterance. That's the realm of gods. That's the realm of God. The movements of the Spirit. Let me show you a few scriptures quickly. I don't have time. That's why I'm just highlighting. I can't pick on anything to emphasize it. So I can't zero in. In Acts 13 verse 9, Paul is a preacher of grace. But he came to speak to a man of authority. And a sorcerer withstood him. Paul had no... He wasn't somebody, he wasn't a bitter person, he wasn't an angry person. But suddenly the Bible said, and Paul, filled with the Spirit, cursed him. Curse is not a doctrine, but there is a time when the movement is a vexation of God against iniquity. You see, he was filled with the Spirit. So he communicated the anger of the Spirit. And he said, you will be blind for a season. Instantly, the man went blind. What is the power that makes for such to happen? It is the power of God. But it takes the movements of the Spirit. He was moved. And he said, you will be blind for a season. Do you know why most of us say things that don't happen? Because we hear other people say it. And then we wear suits, dressed like them. And then we use a baritone voice. You are finished. Nothing happens. Because you don't know the moves of the Spirit. They don't know it. These are some live their lives. They are navigating by the Spirit. They are navigating. A son can just stand up and say, my time is in Abuja, it's done. You say, what? Now the ministry is about to start booming. His goal is not ministry. His goal is to keep pace with that movement. And the ministry is booming in Abuja, but the Spirit has already moved to Congo. He can return to Congo and start with two people. You now who have studied the principle of ministry will say, ah, he has failed. But in the heavens, he's growing in rank. He's growing in rank. Because when he goes to a son can become a national evangelist, and suddenly God said, the duty on the pulpit is over. Come to the altar. You know, the pulpit is different from the altar. You announce the counsel of God from the pulpit, but you change things on the altar. Your job on the pulpit is over. Come to the altar. And then the saw hands over. And then you say, what is wrong with you? My job here is finished. The spirit have gone into the secret place. You know, in Exodus 20:21, he said, Moses stepped into the deep darkness where God was. There is a time where you can move from the light and find him that dwells in the dark, because you know the movements of the spirit. Man can't understand you, but you are a soul. You don't wonder. We pursue eternal inheritance, and the only way we can find it is as we follow that traffic of the spirit that moves on our inside. It keeps moving. Sometimes you are sleeping, you wake up, you don't know why. The counsel of God is about to come to you. You have become a soul. So the Holy Ghost has no regard for when you are awake or when you are asleep. As far as it's concerned, you have become a conduit where he pours his burdens. That's how you work as a God. And when you master it, a time will come when God wants to address Ghana. You are in Nigeria. And then he moves you. And then you stand up and you say, I have a word for the nation of Ghana. It doesn't matter who the president is. When you talk, it will stand. A point will come, God will raise you and say, I want you to change things in Afghanistan. And then you stand up. Oh, the wise men of old understood this. They will remain in the cave, and suddenly they wake up and they walk out. It's just like in waters coming into the garden of waters. You know, nowadays pastors are celebrities. In the days of old, when a man of God comes out, it's like an immortal appearing before mortals. They dread when they see them, because when they come, they are like the movements of the voice of God. The word of the Lord appeared to me. Ah, that's what they search for in the spirit. Because of this, they can shut down everything and they dwell there. The Bible spoke of Ezekiel. It said for 390 days, he laid on one side because he wanted to receive a word for Israel. For 40 days, he laid on another side. He wanted to receive a word for Judah. A point came, Ezekiel. The guy became so fine-tuned with the movements of God that Ezekiel didn't need to go out anymore. When Ezekiel wants to go out, his spirit comes out of him. He said, the Lord held me by the lock of my hair, and he brought me into the temple. Why other people are dressed to come for the meeting in black jeans to be snapped and put on the internet? Ezekiel, the Holy Ghost picks him by the lock of his hair. And when he stands in the temple, you don't know whether it's a body or a spirit. The spirit has mingled too much with the body that you don't know when it's the body of Ezekiel or the spirit of Ezekiel. He said, the spirit of the Lord took me to the valley of dry bones. The guy was on the altar, but he was traveling. He was traveling because that's his soul. He knows the movements of God. He knows the vibration of the spirit. But we, even when God shouts on the trumpet, we can't hear him. Because we pursue things. Friendship with the world. Friendship. If a new hairstyle comes out, that's what we are doing. A new dress code comes out, we become the ambassador. A new dance step comes, we become, that's all about us. We are so tuned to the world's frequency. We don't know what is happening in Zion. Everything they say is new to us. Even when they speak the counsel of God, sometimes we doubt because we don't know. But the glory of a son is the seat that he occupies in the council of God. His goal is not to be popular. His goal is to have a seat there. So when there is a council meeting, I know Abraham my servant. Can I do a thing without consulting him? Can I do a thing? What do you mean? That means the councils of heaven cannot hold until Abraham made an appearance. The Bible said the sons of God appeared before God. They appeared. That's their goal. They pursue that frequency until it brings them to the dwelling of Abba. And when they come out, they become an effulgence of the glory of the Father. I don't want to be a popular preacher. I want to be a witness to my generation. That's a song. That's a song. That's why when you want to check the weapons of a song, it's not his lingo. It's not his grammar. You find out what is the level of his hunger. What is the measure of his hunger? Because that hunger can drive him to places where ordinary men don't cross. John was in captivity. He said, I was in tribulation for the cause of this kingdom. I was in the Isle of Patmos. That was a place of rejection and detection. But he wasn't moved. Heaven was with him. And he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I heard the sound as of a trumpet, and he migrated. They thought he was in Patmos, but he was in Zion. He was in Zion. The next time, the man that was rejected from civilization was now writing letters to the churches. Which letters? Where are you coming from? I'm talking from where he matters to where. I've entered my place as a son. I have a seat in heaven. When things happen, I know. Those are the men that enter the economy of the thunderings of God. When God wants to do something, they know. They tell them. Even if they can't make it for the council meetings, angels will bring reports to them. This was what was consulted. This was what was said. So when they come out, they report the things of the Spirit. The realm of sons introduces us to the realm of gods. That's why I say you are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. You now have the right to participate where mortals don't dwell. There are so few scriptures that get me. I lose my sleep. He said the voice of the seven thunders, they uttered their voice. And when John wanted to write, he said, don't write it. Even if you write it, they can't understand. If they don't come this far, it won't make sense to them. That was why Noah warned his generation for 100 years. They were laughing until the rain came. It won't make sense to them because they have not paid the price of sonship. They have not paid the price of alignment. They have not paid the price to find the navigations of the Spirit. So the thunderings of God is noise to their ears. The first introduction to the realm of God is the introduction into sonship. And sonship is the movements of the Spirit. Sonship is the beholding of the image of the Father, so that you are changed into that image. We all with open faces beholding us in the glass, the image of the Lord. They have put so much pressure on our generation. Everybody is running to succeed by natural standards. The guy loses his altar. His secret life dies. But so long as everybody is clapping for him, it's enough. He comes for a meeting. He can't sense God anymore. He replaces the move of God with volume. Mechanical operations, because the fluidity of the Spirit is no longer there. That's why we can't walk as gods, because we are not sons. Too many times we are babes on the altar trying to communicate sacred oracles that we don't know where they come from or what they symbolize in the spirit realm. Somebody will receive a hunger to begin to seek the move of the Spirit. Somebody will leave this meeting and step into the corridor of encounters. Encounters so potent that will alter your appetites, alter your belief system, alter your pursuit. And yourself will come to that point where God utters his oracles. Before it came in my life, I said, I'm tired of being told what God wants to do. I want to find out what God wants to do. I want to find out. I want to know the difference. Time itself is a body. I wish we were somewhere where only the mature can talk. You know, I remembered when we were in Ibadan and Apostle Bob finished his meeting and we entered the room just for a chat. And we spoke there. The time we spent there was more than the time for the whole meeting. And it was not enough, because the more you hear, they are like echoes of eternity. Words confirming the things that happened to you in the secret place. Wars bringing you into seasons, because witnesses begins to overlap until a corporate witness that has the stature to affect the territory is activated. But you will tell yourself, I won't rest until I find a place in the corridors of God. Even if I'm in business, I won't come there like everybody. I will come with a wisdom that is superior to everything in the corridors of mortals. I will trade by the movements of the spirit. I won't trade because of the programs. I won't trade because of the human strategy. The Holy Ghost, everybody can be trading A, but I know when the Holy Ghost is saying B, and it looks as if I'm the odd one out. I'm functioning by the moves of the spirit. I won't choose a course because they say medicine is profitable. I will choose a course because the Holy Ghost has entered my future, and he knows what I will read that will affect my value in the world to come. Talk to the Lord. Tell him to help you. Tell him to help you. These are not matters that border around intelligence or age. You may be old, but you can enter. The Bible says women receive their dead back to life. The time will come when old women will sit down and nations will gather around them, because their utterances will be like the rain. Of the spirit. The Bible said Paul entered the city. A diviner followed him for many days. He said, "These be the servants of God that speaks to us the word of the Lord." A natural man will be happy and say a popular person is validating him. But the Bible said Paul was grieved in the spirit. Even though it looked like validation, what the Holy Ghost was saying was different. It's time to depart from popular opinion, because you can hear something as an echo from eternity. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. When you begin to appear in the throne room, you will discover there are three things about the throne room. The first thing about the throne room is that the throne room is a school of God. That's where we learn God. That's where we learn the ways of God. Because in the spirit, you learn by beholding. So you look upon him and a dimension enters you. The first thing about the throne room is that the throne room is a class where God is taught. The second thing about the throne room is the ground of legislation and litigation. Verdicts come from there. That's where rulership and dominion is established. And the third thing about the throne room is that it's a ground of intimacy, where the affections of God is poured to his people. The reason is because God is Father, so men must be sons. God is kings, so men must be kings. God is Lord, so men must become priests that minister to him. To function in the class of God, you must be a son, you must be a priest, and you must be a king. When you come there, then you are able to thunder according to the movements of the spirit. If God is Father, you must be son to be in the class of God. If God is king, you also must be king, because he's King of Kings. That's why you can sit in a cabinet with him. And if God is Lord, then you must be priest, because you must always minister to him. For us to walk in the class of God, we must become sons, priests, and kings. I want to pray now that somebody will receive an encounter. I didn't have time to journey to the end, but the Holy Ghost will teach you. And I believe the many ministers that will come eventually will bring these perspectives and make them plain so that you can follow. I want to pray for someone. The prayer I'm praying for you is simple. One, that there will be a baptism of hunger. Because there are many things that cannot be taught. They can only be entrusted.
And when you walk with the Spirit long enough, He can entrust you with those things. If you are expectant, ask the Lord for it now.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website or rocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.
You've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.